Hello, and welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Harvest Church here in Elk Grove. We're excited to have you join us as we share God's message of hope and love. Each week, we bring you a new message from our pastors and guest speakers designed to inspire, uplift your spirits, and challenge you. Whether you're listening on your commute, at home, or on a walk, we hope these messages will bring you closer to God and help you on your faith journey. So without further ado, let's listen in.
Just thank you and we praise you in the name of your son Jesus. We love you and we bless you. God, you are so faithful. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in this place, in this house, and in this moment. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and the heart to perceive what the Spirit of the living God is saying to Harvest Church, to the people in this room, and those who are watching online. We thank you, Father, for the movement of the Holy Spirit. I pray, let me teach and preach as one having authority, Lord. And I pray, Father, let the Bible become more real here at this church than anywhere in Northern California. God, we pray that you would undergird us with the wind of heaven, and you would strengthen us with the strength of God, and you would send forth the might of the living God to be within us, Lord God. Sustain us, keep us, stabilize us, bless us, pour out your glory. I pray, Father, have your way in this place in your son, Jesus Christ. Holy name, we pray, and everyone say it. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God is so good. The title of my message this morning is, What is Pentecost? For those who don't know, today is Pentecost Sunday. How in the world do we get our anniversary to fall on Pentecost Sunday? Amen. I think 22 years ago, Pastor Liz was plotting. She said that we could just get married on the 19th. We could get our anniversary to fall on Pentecost Sunday. So here we are. Amen. Praise God. Norman Robinson said that salvation is God's gift to the world, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit is God's gift to his children, believers in Christ. The same Spirit that lived in Christ Jesus that rose him from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in us. The day of Pentecost in Acts 2 is the official launch of the church. And without Pentecost, there would be no church. Without the Holy Spirit outpouring and baptism, there would be no church. Pentecost in the Jewish tradition was a celebration of the harvest that God promised to give to Israel, found in the book of Deuteronomy. The word Pentecost, or Penti, means 50. And it was the Jewish festival of Shavuot, primarily a festival of thanksgiving for the first fruits of their wheat harvest. Whenever they gathered their harvest to be able to feed their families, because they had months of sowing and watering and protecting the crops and getting rid of the bugs and the insects and watching over. After that time period, they had their harvest and they would go and gather the harvest, and God commanded them to have a feast to celebrate that he allowed them to have a harvest to take care of their families. And at the end of that 50 day, or at the end of the Passover, they would celebrate this. Christ represents the lamb for the feast of the Passover, and the Holy Spirit represents the harvest for the feast of Pentecost. Christ was the Passover lamb. And without the Holy Spirit, once again, there could be no church. And anyone who's a non-Jew would never have access to Jesus Christ as their Messiah if it was not for the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you this. In the Old Testament, there were only three offices that had access to the anointing of God. It was the kings, the priests, and the prophets. They were the only ones who were anointed by God to have the Holy Spirit rest upon them for their offices. However, in Joel chapter 2, it was promised, and in Acts chapter 2, we saw the fulfillment that the Holy Spirit would be formed or poured out on this newly formed group called the church. And for the first time, the Holy Spirit could rest on regular people like us. Now, I don't know if you understand, but access is a very powerful thing. People did not have access to the presence of God like we have access to the presence of God in modern day. In the days before the New Testament, in the days before the book of Acts, people could not just go to God and receive the power and the presence and the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. They had to go to the priest. They had to offer sacrifice. They had to bring sin sacrifices and sin offerings. They had to bring thanksgiving offerings. They had to do all of these ceremonies hoping that maybe God would respond to them. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, now regular normal people, for the first time in the history of the world, in the history of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had access to the presence of God. And I want to tell you this, don't take for granted what we have available to us, because there were many people in the days of the Bible that sacrificed and gave their lives so that we could have the freedom to worship and express ourselves to God and experience God in our lives the way that we do. See, because I don't know why I'm saying this, but don't take for granted what you are freely given, because it cost someone their life so that you could have what we are experiencing. Amen? And I want to give you five reasons that Pentecost is important from the book of Acts. So let's go into this. Number one, Pentecost is important because it represents the unifying of the nations. In Acts chapter 2, 1 through 1 and 2, it says this. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Verse 5, at that time, they were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. They said, how can this be? They exclaimed, these people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native language. Go to verse 11. It says, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we all hear these people speaking in our language about the wonderful things that God has done. And they stood there amazed and perplexed, saying, what can this mean? They kept asking each other. I want you to understand, this is what Pentecost represents. It represents the birthing and reaching and connecting diverse people groups. Pentecost is about connecting diversity. So when we talk about Pentecost, we're talking about all of these different and various nations in Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost, coming to celebrate the harvest that was coming, that the birthing of the church was birthed in diversity and cultural variety. Amen? The church was birthed in diversity. And Harvest Church is a church that is unified under the banner of Christ, that we are a diverse church. And let me tell you this, if anyone is trying to convince you that Harvest Church being Pentecostal is dividing us, they are lying. And they are lying like Garfield when he says that I don't like lasagna. For those who don't know classic Garfield, this brother loves lasagna. He gets in trouble for lasagna. Pentecost is not dividing us. Pentecost is unifying us. Amen. Give me a water. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Number two. Pentecost is important because it represents the empowerment of the church. Look at your neighbor, say, we are empowered. Acts chapter 2, 17 through 19. Peter spoke and said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on your servants, men and women alike. They will prophesy, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Going back to verse 17. It says that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Young men will see vision, and old men will dream dreams. And in those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. This is revolutionary because back in the Old Testament, you had to be a prophet. You had to be a king. You had to be a person who was anointed to get prophetic dreams and visions and these things. And he's saying people who are even servants or slaves, normal people, now have access to the power and the presence of God. They have access to the realm of the Spirit. They have access to divine information simply because the Holy Spirit has been poured out on normal and common people. I don't know if you understand, but common people who serve an uncommon God can begin doing supernatural things. Amen. God gets more glory when a regular everyday Joe or everyday Jane is doing something for his glory. And any of us have access. We have as much of God that we can receive if we would just open up and say, Lord, here I am. I make myself available to you. You can use me and do whatever you want to do through me. Amen. You don't need a Bible college degree. You don't need to be a theologian. You just need to have an open heart and say, God, I make myself available. I believe it was D.L. Moody, who was one of the greatest evangelists in the history of the modern day church in the last couple of hundred years. He lived in the 1800s. D.L. Moody had preached the gospel. Historically, I believe the number was close to 200 million people. He had the privilege of preaching the gospel in his lifetime. D.L. Moody, by many, was considered to be illiterate. He was a person who could not read. He could not write. He spoke with broken grammar. And yet he preached the gospel to 200 million people before there was Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. He couldn't go on to get a TikTok to go viral. None of those things were available to him. But he was a regular, everyday man who said, God, I make myself available. Use me for your glory. He's going to get a great reward because you know what? He maximized his potential and he allowed God to use him in a powerful way. I want to ask you this. What are you using as your resources to reach people, knowing that you have access to so many things? It's so amazing to me that we want to be influencers and we're trying to influence people for our flesh and for our personal fame and for our personal advancement. But instead of using the tools that God has given us to bring him glory, to exalt his name, to make him famous, and to lift him up, we want our flesh tickled on line just because we're so selfish and self-centered. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking about the church up the street today. That's God will one day have us stand before him and he's going to want to know, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? If God is giving you notoriety, it's not for you. It's to bring him glory. And when I die, I want to die as a man emptied and poured out for his glory. I don't want to live for John Smith. I want to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. And some of y'all, before you were saved, you was doing a real bad job of living for yourself. So I would encourage you, implore you, it would be better to give Jesus everything because at least he can do something great with your life. Can I get a yes and amen? I'm preaching better than y'all responding, but that's all right today. Amen. Come on, we'll give y'all some lattes afterward, loosen y'all up a little bit. The fire Bible says the outpouring of the Spirit will result in prophetic gifts and spiritual experiences becoming common among all people who serve God, no matter their age, their sex, or their position in society. Pentecost was important because God began using common people to begin doing uncommon things. Can I get a good yes and amen? Number three, Pentecost is important because it represents the expediting of the gospel. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It says, people of Israel, listen, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and he prearranged plans was to carry out when Jesus was was betrayed with the help of lawless Gentiles. You nailed him to a cross and killed him. But 24, it says, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. Amen. As Peter quotes the book of Joel, he speaks of the Spirit's life-transforming work that would reach beyond the Jews so that everyone, including the Gentiles, would be included in the outpouring of the Spirit. One of the things that we see in the book of Acts, which is so amazing to me, and it was in Acts like chapter 11, the Jews did not believe that non-Jews could be saved. Because when Peter goes to Cornelius' house, he preached the gospel and all of these non-Jews get saved. When he went back to report it to the Jewish leadership, they said, what did you do going into a house of uncircumcised men? And he began to tell them that God wanted the non-Jews to be saved as well. Pentecost is about taking good news to people who know that there's no good news that exists. I'm tired of people talking about, well, they're atheists. So what? It doesn't matter if they don't believe in God. God's real whether they believe in him or not. Preach the gospel to them. Let them know that he's real. Oh, I love it when someone's like an atheist. I'm like, cool, let me prophesy to you. Bam. They're like, how did you know that? The God that you say don't exist just revealed what's going on in your life just so that you would know that he is real. I remember a lady who was crippled, who literally looked me in my face, and I said, God's going to perform a miracle of healing in your life. And she said, it is scientifically impossible. Oh, really? Oh, God's about to make an example of you, baby. This is going to be real good. Laid hands on that woman, and in 45 seconds, she was instantaneously healed from a crippling accident 5 years ago that put her husband in a wheelchair and caused nerve damage in her body so severe that she would wake up with her hand in the form of a claw. God healed her because God, the God that we serve, supersedes science, supersedes unbelief, supersedes atheism, supersedes agnosticism. God is not limited to people's mental and psychological brain lockups and brain freezes. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the earth, and then Jesus will return. Pastor John, why are you stuck on this preaching the gospel? Because Jesus said he's not coming back till all have heard. That doesn't mean all have to accept, but all have to hear. Who did he put the burden and the weight of the responsibility of the world hearing? The church. It's our responsibility to tell those who don't know him who he is. Now, if they reject it, that's on them, but it's our responsibility to tell them. And then Jesus is going to return. Let us not be found negligent in our responsibility, church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but let us be faithful doing what he put us here on the earth to do. Amen. Number four, almost done. Pentecost is important because it represents Christ's exaltation and the devil's destruction. Come on, Jesus was flexing on the devil. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32 says this, and God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, in this verse, and here it is, and the Father, as he has promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us just as you see today. It is important to understand that anything that Jesus has from the Father that he wants to give to us, it is important that we have it. I'm going to say that again. This is not your friend offering you their bad hot dog at the house. Amen. Y'all missed that. This is Jesus saying, the Father has entrusted me with something to give to you. So when we talk about the Spirit's baptism, we're talking about receiving what God the Father, our Creator, gave to Jesus so that he could pour out upon us. Verse 34, for David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies and make them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you've crucified, both Lord and Messiah. So Jesus is exalted and Satan's kingdom is destroyed. Acts 10:38 says this, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The devil was going around the earth bullying people, destroying people with sickness, disease, infirmity, psychological and mental illness. He was destroying and wrecking families. He was giving people leprosy. He was dividing people. He was destroying people. He was wreaking havoc. He was creating all kind of problems. And then Jesus comes along seeing the destruction of the devil, and he says, enough is enough. My Father has sent me here to destroy your works and to reconcile all of humanity back to their heavenly Father and bring them into a relationship. So Jesus began destroying sickness. He begins destroying illness and infirmities. People who were insane, he began restoring their right minds and giving them back their sanity and their dignity. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil so that the heavenly Father might be exalted. The Bible speaks about the man called Legion. It said that he was filled with so many devils and that he would run around naked and live in graveyards and cut himself, and they would wrap him up and bind him with chains, and he was so demonically empowered that with his physical body he would break out of chains. He was absolutely and totally insane. It's so amazing to me that sometimes as I'm driving through Sacramento, I will see, matter of fact, 2 days ago I saw a man who was walking down the sidewalk flipping off random spaces. There was nobody around, but I'm sure that he was seeing things that nobody was seeing because he was completely insane and out of his mind. And that's the same way the man with the legion of demons inside of him was. But Jesus came to set that man free, because as he set him free, he destroyed the work of the devil. And not only did he set him free, but then Jesus began restoring dignity back to people who had no dignity. That's why we should not make fun of people and mock people, because the devil is bullying them and beating them up and embarrassing them and shaming them. And Jesus wants to heal them and restore dignity to them and remove the devil's work in their lives. Well, guess what, church? He's empowered us to do the same thing. Every time that we are used by God and the hand of God is extended, we can see people healed and their dignity restored. Can I get a good yes and amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And number five, and my final point is this. Pentecost is important because it represents the outpouring of his Spirit and the gifts and his gifts on believers in Christ. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says this. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In verse 17, it says, and in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on your servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. I need you to understand, this group in Acts chapter 2 that was filled with the Spirit and began speaking in other tongues. This was the same group in Matthew chapter 10 who all cast out devils, healed the sick, performed miracles. They had already been preaching the gospel. They already performed signs, wonders, and miracles. But the difference is this. As they walked around with the physical presence of Jesus, there was not a need for the person of the Holy Spirit in this manner. But Jesus went away in Acts chapter 1, and now they needed a one just like Jesus. And this is the reason why the Holy Spirit had to come upon them and baptize them and fill them with the Holy Spirit, because the same power that Jesus walked around and used, the same anointing that rested upon him, the same way that he had the ability to perform signs, wonders, and miracles was through the person of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you like ones who does not have some that's with him, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and you are going to be empowered to preach the gospel and to do my works in the earth. He did not leave them ill-equipped. He did not leave them without the things that they needed to carry out his assignment. Jesus made sure they had everything that they needed. So when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a denomination. We're not talking about a specific group of people. We're talking about what God gave the church so that they can carry out their divine assignment and be everything that he called them to be. I don't know about you, but if Jesus had it, I want it. If Jesus had it, I want it. Listen, for those of you, Brother Marty, good to see you today, man. God bless you. He was in the military. He served in Desert Storm. If they told him, hey, buddy, have a good one. We're going to send you out to go fight against the Taliban, but we're not going to give you any guns, any bullets, any grenades, any weapons. We're just going to send you out there. Just smile real big and just walk across the desert and see what happens. He would have said, there's no way. I want everything that the U.S. Army has given so that I can fight the way that I need to fight to save myself and all of the people that's a part of this unit. I want everything. Matter of fact, if you could give me some extra stuff, I'll take that too. Amen? If this bubble gum blow up, I want it. Give it all to me. So why does the church think that you can go out without the power that Jesus had and be effective and do what he did? I'm just saying. We need what he had. Amen? So when we talk about Pentecost, we're not talking about a denomination or a religion. We're talking about the divine empowerment of God to be who and what he's called the church to be. Amen? Now, Pastor John, I thought when I got saved, I had the Holy Spirit. You do have the Holy Spirit when you got saved. When you were born again, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. So people say, you don't have the Holy Spirit if you don't speak in tongues. That's not true. You have the Holy Spirit. But when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have a greater measure of the Holy Spirit. Because now you begin to get gifts of the Spirit. You begin operating in miracles, signs, and wonders. Now you've been empowered to perform and do the same things that Jesus did. When you get empowered by the Holy Spirit, then you can begin walking as he walked and doing what he did. Amen? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast. We pray that today's message has touched your heart and encouraged your spirit. We believe that the Word of God has the power to transform our lives and inspire us to be better versions of ourselves. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more inspirational messages. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you. And we look forward to seeing you at one of our weekend services and sharing with you once again next week.